23rd Psalm. We pray that it describes our life, that we live every day in the reality of what is written here. Been looking at verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Again, that's present tense, continuous, something we need all the time. We don't restore our own soul. No one else restores our soul. He restoreth my soul. It's not just He restores behaviors. He certainly corrects them. And He can turn them around, but it's He restoreth my soul. If the soul is restored, the behavior, of course, falls in line. I've been looking at the need, why we need this. The very word restoreth implies that there are dangers. There are dangerous influences to our soul. We've been looking at those, and that is Satan certainly is one. He's not the only one. The truth is we give Satan a lot to work with, just our fleshly nature. But then some of the things we do, we give the devil opportunity. But so there is the influence of Satan. There is the influence of the world that we live in. We began last week to see that there's the influence of the times in which we live. And again, the danger is always there in all times, ever since the fall. It doesn't matter what age or time frame an individual has lived or does live, there's always been dangers to the soul. There's always been those things that are poisonous to the souls. So there are things that are relevant to all times. But there are also dangers for specific times. Some times have dangers that other times may not have, or not as great. We, of course, live in the last days, and as the last days progress, things get increasingly worse till they become like the days of Noah, the days of Lot. And characteristic of those days is that there were very, very, very few. Very few. That's characteristic of the day. And one of the dangers is, as people see that they are getting fewer and fewer, they start doing things to increase their numbers or whatever. And this, of course, just brings all sorts of dangers to the soul. But we are affected more than we would want to admit by the times in which we live, and I mean in a negative way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see our days are described in verse 1, this know also, we need to know this, need to be aware of the days in which we live. We need to realize what's going on. We need to realize the intent of enemy forces. We must realize these things. We cannot be in ignorance. This know also that in the last days, and again, the last days began with Christ. Hebrews 1 makes that clear. And then, of course, it's gone until today, and they increasingly get worse.
Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the root problem of everything that follows here. Covetous, you can easily see how that falls into lovers of their own selves. Boasters, again, keep in mind, all these things intensify as we get further into the last days. Proud. Now, there is a difference, boasters and proud. Boasting is a manifestation of pride. Boasting is man's independence from God, as so he thinks. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents or any authority. Unthankful, that more than not saying thank you, that's just being ungrateful, the spirit of unthankfulness, unholy, without natural affection, that goes much further than homosexuality, goes much further than that, refers to parents love the children, children's love to parents, love between siblings, I mean, it goes on and on. Without natural affection, truce breakers, it is man becomes less and less trustworthy. And that's a danger because as your nature sees that people seem to make advancements by being dishonest or unethical. Well, why shouldn't I do the same thing? Everybody else is. We can become infected. False accusers, incontinent, fierce. See that today. Every time you turn on the news, people are fierce. They're out of their minds. Despisers of those that are good, and that's part of where that fierce comes through. Traitors or betrayers, and again, it all goes back to lovers of their own selves. They betray anybody for themselves. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. This is something that there was a time in history, United States history, where people were certainly more morally minded than they are today. I mean, no one can deny that. We're not saying that they were all saved. We're not saying that immorality didn't exist. It certainly did. It has since the fall. But there's no denying that there was a time when people were even unsaved people were more morally minded than they are today. And there was a time when people, even unsaved people, had a respect for religion. I'm not saying they agreed with it, but they had a respect for religion. They had a respect for godliness. Somewhere along the line, that became just a mere form. And we've moved beyond that as far as society as a whole. There's not even a form of godliness as far as society as a whole. We've moved way beyond that. But amongst God's people, this is a danger that our godliness or our, lack of a better word, religion becomes just a mere form, that it just becomes rote. And when it does, we need to be restored. Our soul needs to be restored. Denying the power thereof. There's a power in godliness. But there is a danger that we deny that power, that we neglect that power. From such, turn away. And the reason we're to turn away is because we're liable to be infected. We're liable to be infected. For of this sort, those who have, he's talking about a religious crowd now, they have a form of godliness. They don't have the power of godliness. For of this sort, religious or TV preachers and that kind of people, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. And perhaps the thing that describes our time more than any is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are people that go to college all their life now. One of the reasons, of course, is because the government pays for it. It's free. Another reason is people think that the more education I have, the smarter I have, the smarter I am. But nothing, of course, could be further than from the truth. Some of the most ignorant people on the planet are educated people. And that's not an insult to education, but ever learning and never able. It doesn't say always learning, but they do not come to truth. That's not what it says. That's true, but that's not what it says. It says ever learning and never able. There's a condition there. There's a condition of the brain. There's something wrong. Always being taught, but never able to grasp the knowledge of the truth. Now, we have the influence of our times. We have the influence of our times. And they are dangerous. And because of that, there is the need of restoration. We see that these men resist the truth. They resist the truth. People are always learning, but they resist the truth. They don't want truth. They are corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. If you're reprobate, you're hopeless. There's no hope for you. They're reprobate concerning the faith. So our times are certainly dangerous, and we must be aware of that. We must not expose ourselves to the pollutions of the world because they are dangerous to our soul. But we are blessed in the fact that God restoreth our soul. There is also the influence of our sinful nature, and that, of course, is our greatest danger. It's our greatest enemy. The truth is, Satan, the world, our times would not be able to influence us in a negative way if it were not for our flesh, if it were not for our nature. If we were completely like Christ, we would be in no danger. But we're not completely like Christ, nor will we be till we get to heaven. So our flesh is our greatest danger. And if we fail to watch our flesh, we will be influenced negatively by Satan, the world, and the times in which we live. In Jeremiah 17, in verse 9, every child of God, every lost person, but we emphasize every child of God is Jeremiah 17, verse 9. We must never, ever forget that. The heart that is deceitful above all things. Satan is a deceiver, but we have a heart that is deceitful above all things. The truth is, we don't even need Satan to deceive us. We have a heart that does that. It is that deceitful heart that will cause us to listen to Satan, to even listen to him. Our heart deceives us. Our heart deceives us in thinking that we can be around all these ungodly influences and somehow we're above it all and we won't be infected. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful in the fact that it tells us things are okay when they're not. The heart is deceitful above all things. And it is desperately, desperately wicked. Because of that, even if you didn't have the influence of Satan, the influence of the world, the influence of the times, if you could remove all of those things, here is our greatest danger. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Inside every child of God is a sinful nature. Now, as we grow, we're to be putting, Romans chapter 6, we're to be putting that sinful nature is to be more and more under the dominion and the control of the Holy Spirit. But it's still there. It's always there. Until we're out of this life, it's always there. I believe one of the greatest failures of God's people is the failure to understand how sinful we are. How sinful our nature is. How powerful it is. If you know human nature, you can watch people, and unless God intervenes, you know what's coming next. Because it's their nature. Just like if you watched a dog, a cat, it's their nature to do certain things. So it is with people. We need to know that, first of all, concerning ourselves, that we can properly watch ourselves. But we need to be aware of it in individuals as well. They have the same sinful nature. And I believe everybody's nature is equally sinful. I do not believe everyone is equally sinful. But our nature is equally sinful. We do not, by God's grace, by God's mercy, we do not carry out our nature in many areas. That's when God begins to, again, back in Genesis 6, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. What that is saying is God was removing restraints. He was no longer going to restrain men. That's what happens as we move further into the last days. The restraints of the Holy Spirit are being lifted. The restraints of the Holy Spirit are being removed, and man acts more in accord with his nature, and that's what it means when wicked men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Because of the restraining power of the Spirit being lifted, man acts more and more in accord with his nature. And that being so, you can't even begin to imagine what the tribulation period is going to be like, because then the Spirit of God is removed as a restraining agent. People just act according to their nature. But we all have this sinful nature, and it's a danger. It's a detriment. That's why we have to die daily. We have to do something every day with this sinful nature, and several times through the day. Now, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. And this is a verse that is greatly misunderstood, especially though by those who deny, and most of the religious world does, the total depravity of man. And the total depravity of man, again, doesn't mean that man is as sinful as he can be. That's not what it means. It means that man is totally sinful, though. Doesn't necessarily mean he acts it all out. Romans 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me," and then he clarifies, "that is in my flesh, what I am by nature, dwelleth no good thing." And people will argue. They will say, well, there are some good things about human nature. Not if you really look into it. There is nothing good in our flesh. Now, that doesn't say that man does not do good things. Man can do some good things. Even a lost man can do some good things. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that he can't or that he won't do good things. But in our flesh, in our nature, there's nothing good there. There's nothing good there. That's why it's comical almost when somebody looks at someone and says, well, I'm going to try to find the good in them. Well, if you want to be completely honest, that's a vain search. There's nothing good in our flesh, in our nature. We need to realize that. It's hostile and it's rebellious toward God, our flesh. That puts us in danger. Not only am I in danger of my own flesh, but I'm in danger because of the flesh of others as well. Even if you could live all by yourself, no negative influence, you cannot get away from your flesh. You can't get away from it. Romans 8, chapter 7 says, because the carnal mind, that's our nature, is enmity against God. The fleshly mind is enmity against God. For the reason it is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God. It doesn't say that it does not subject itself to the law of God. It says something more than that. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. There's an inability. There's an inability for our nature, our human nature, to subject itself to God. For you and I that are saved, if we submit to God, that's the new nature. That's not the old nature. The old nature does not subject to God. And even if it appears that the old nature is subjecting to God, it's only an appearance, and it's for the wrong reason. Romans 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh, that is, they that live by the dictates of sinful flesh, cannot please God. They cannot please the Lord. If you and I follow the dictates of sinful flesh, we will be displeasing to God every single time. Now, this sinful nature is active in the child of God. It'd be one thing if it just would lie dormant, but it doesn't. It's very active, and we all know that. We all know that by experience. Every now and then somebody will say, I just don't understand why I think some of the things I think, why I do some of the things I do. I don't want to do them, but I don't understand why I do. Romans 7 explains it. It's that sinful flesh. It's that sinful nature, and it puts us in danger. In verse 23, verse 22 of Romans 7, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the spiritual man. There's for you and I that are saved, there is a part of us that delights in the Word of God, delights in the laws of God, the commands of God. But here comes the problem. I see. Now, if you see something, it's real. I see another law. And the word law here is authority in my members. And this law is very active. It's warring. It's warring against the law of my mind. Our fleshly nature affects our mind. And once the mind is brought down, it brings us into captivity to the law or to the authority of sin, which is right now continually in my members. So we have this terrible fleshly nature. And it's active. It's active in us. Everything about our times, everything about the world, as we've already seen, feeds the fleshly nature, appeals to the fleshly nature. And that's why somebody says, well, I don't see anything wrong with fornicating. No, your fleshly nature doesn't. Your fleshly nature, your sinful nature doesn't see anything wrong with that. But if a person can say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that, that may be, and again, I'm talking about those who profess to be saved, that may be the only nature they have. And that's why they can't see anything wrong. Because a child of God, the Spirit of God convicts them, that is wrong. That is wrong. But our fleshly nature begins to try to sympathize and to understand. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth, warreth against the Spirit. So it's active. But here's some good news for the child of God. The Spirit against the flesh. Yes, the flesh wars against the Spirit. But we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and that Holy Spirit wars against the flesh. And these, flesh and spirit, are contrary the one to the other. Don't try to mix them. It doesn't work. They are contrary, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 7. There are things that a child of God desires to do, but then here comes the flesh, and they don't do it. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So we see the flesh is active. It's active. So the sinful nature or principle is aligned with the course of the world. We see that in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The sinful nature is a force that is in us. We have to recognize that. It's a force that is in us. And it always strives to move us away from God. Always. The flesh always moves away from God. Because of this influence, the sheep are in danger. Because of indwelling corruption, we the sheep are in danger. And because of this indwelling corruption, we constantly, because the flesh is always acting, We constantly need restoring. He restoreth my soul. And again, it shows us the long suffering of God. He restores it over and over and over and over again. All the patience of the Lord. But he knows, one of the reasons he does this is he knows that we are but dust. He knows what we are. We may try to convince ourselves that we're something else, but he knows what we are. And we depart from God. We wander from God. And the Lord knows that's their flesh. I will restore their soul. That's a faithful shepherd, and that's what he does. He restoreth my soul. So there is a danger because of influences. Next, we'll see that there is a danger because of the conditions that you and I can succumb to, and that we lean toward because of our flesh. We can get in a terrible condition, and we can do so very quickly. It doesn't take a long time. We can fall into a terrible, terrible condition in very, very short order. And therefore, we need, he restoreth my soul. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you, Lord, that you are so long-suffering with us. We thank you, Lord, that you do restore our soul, that you restore our soul continually. We thank you, Lord. We just pray that you would cause us to realize our nature, cause us to realize our need of you as our restorer. We thank you, Lord, for this 23rd Psalm and how we can live in this Psalm. We pray now that you would just help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would honor and glorify your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.